The world so often chooses to celebrate its great feats in the context of the day. Its industry, wars, politics, festivals, dramas, so often take place under the shining sun. But from the beginning, the church has often chosen to celebrate many of her feasts at night while the world is sleeping. We need only to look at religious history to see some of the significant events of history that took place at night. The ancient Israelites ate that first Passover meal in Egypt, being delivered from slavery through the hand of Moses at night. Jesus sought lonely places to pray and contemplate often at night. Nicodemus came to Jesus at night by cover of darkness to talk with him about what it was to be born from above. Jesus took his disciples to that upper room at that first Monday, Thursday at the Last Supper to give them the gift of the Eucharist, the Mass, at night. He took Peter, James, and John to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray before his arrest at night. And though he died during the day, we are told that the sky darkened as if to resemble the night. And it was still dark before dawn when the women discovered the empty tomb on that first Easter day. And so it was also that our Lord chose not the day, but the night to be born in Bethlehem. And so throughout the centuries, the church has always chosen the night to celebrate her feast, first feast of the 12-day season of Christmas. This is a holy night. Tonight, as we celebrate this ancient liturgy, in essence, the church, Mother Church, pours for us a cornucopia, a horn of plenty of treasures unimaginable. The vista of our imagination, our contemplation, our spiritual vision widens as the curtain lifts and we contemplate the birth of the Christ. Yes, at Bethlehem, but also at two other places. The birth of the Christ in the holy night of eternity and the birth of the Christ here in you and me. There are three births we contemplate tonight. The most familiar is Bethlehem, but let's first go to the holy night of eternity. Come with me, and if you will, stay with me, because we have to delve into mystery to visit the holy night of eternity. And remember, so much of religion is mystery. But mystery is not blind faith. Mystery is that part of God that is beyond human comprehension, but not contrary to human reason. So it is that human beings can debate and muse and contemplate and study and grow in mystery. We might not get to the end. We were always growing in the mystery of who God is. And so the first birth of the Christ we contemplate tonight is his birth in the night of eternity, long before any morning star or sun had ever shone. The words of the prologue of John refer to this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We refer to this in the creed at every Mass when we say, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, of one substance with the Father, before whom all things were made. We've always known that someone was there with God, that God has never been alone. God has been in relationship. We've always known that there is a hand on our lives. We've always known that the Christ preexisted all the way from the beginning. Like a sunflower facing the sun, we have had images and stories that wooed us to this belief, to this knowledge. And we need only to look at the story of Israel and the Hebrew scriptures that we call the Old Testament to see the types, the shadows, and the narratives and the images and the metaphors that woo us to know that Christ has always been there from the beginning. May I list a few of the images? Just a few. You might have to go back to your Sunday school days to remember them, but they should be familiar. And there are many more than these. But just a few of the images that woo us to know that the Christ of God was born in eternity. In Genesis, the seed of woman. In Exodus, the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, the high priest. In Numbers, the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, a prophet like unto Moses. In Joshua, a captain of our salvation. In Judges, a lawgiver. In Ruth, a kinsman redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, a trusted prophet. In Kings and Chronicles, a reigning king. In Ezra, a faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, the rebuilder of the broken down walls of Jerusalem. In Esther, a Mordecai. And Job, the day spring from on high, and Psalms as pre-existent Christ. Born in the night of eternity, we know through the image of the Lord our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, she is Sophia. She is wisdom. In Song of Solomon, he is our lover and our bridegroom. In Isaiah, a prince of peace. In Jeremiah, that balm of Gilead. In Lamentations, the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, the fourth man in the fiery furnace. In Hosea, that faithful spouse. In Joel, the baptizer of God's spirit. Amos, the burden bearer. And Obadiah, God's mighty deliverer. And Jonah, that great missionary to Nineveh. And Micah, God's messenger of beautiful feet. And Nahum, the avenger of God's elect. And Habakkuk, the crusher of injustice. And Zephaniah, the blessed father. And Haggai, the restorer of the ritual of Israel. And Zechariah, the beloved savior. And Malachi, the son of righteousness, rising with healing in his wings. Types and shadows. And metaphors and story and narrative that woo us to always know that the Christ of God is there with his hand on humanity from the beginning of time. And then tonight, we celebrate that this Christ, born at the night of eternity, was also born in a human date in human history on our calendar of time in Bethlehem. In the Christ of God, pre-existent, born at the night of humanity, was born in the flesh of Jesus of Nazareth so that we can know the story and the narratives and the parables and the love of Jesus and grow even more and more to know the mystery of God. Maybe not to the end, but widen the vista of our imagination and our knowledge. Through the birth of the Christ in Jesus, a four-year-old child can stand before our beautiful creche tonight and know in large part, maybe not in whole, but in large part, the very mystery of God through the story of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. And so since that night when the Christ was born in Jesus of Nazareth in Bethlehem, we have grown now more and more to know the mystery of God through narrative and image and metaphor and parable, the teachings of his life and the example of his love. Let me list a few. Just a few. You'll have to go back to your Sunday school years for them to be familiar. And there are many more. But in Matthew is the Messiah, and Mark is the wonder worker, and Luke is the Son of Man, and John is the Son of God. In Acts, he's the foundation of the church. In Romans, he's our justifier. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, he's our sanctifier. In Galatians, he's the everlasting redeemer. In Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead in bodily form. In Philippians, he's the God that will meet all of our need. In Ephesians, he's the Christ of unsearchable riches. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he's the soon and coming King. In 1 and 2 Timothy, he's that mediator between humans and God. In Titus, he's our faithful pastor. In Philemon, he's the friend that sticks closer than a sister or a brother. In Hebrews, he's the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, he's the great physician. In 1 and 2 Peter, he's the good shepherd. In 1, 2, and 3 John, he's everlasting love. In Jude, he's the Lord coming with 10,000 of his saints. In Revelation, the Christ born in the night of eternity. The Christ born in Bethlehem is our King of kings and our Lord of lords. And that's just the second birth. The other third holy night in the miracle of this world is tonight. This holy night. The promise of Christianity is that the Christ born in eternity and born at Bethlehem can be born in us. As we approach the altar of God, our hearts and bodies become the crib in which he is born. And whether we come to the altar for the first time, never having received communion in our lives, or whether we've come all of our lives, the promise is there for us that Christ be born. Whether we come with feeling spiritually alive or spiritually dead or anything in between, the promise of Christmas and the promise of Christianity is that we can grow more and more in the love of the mystery of God in the person of Jesus. So I hope tonight when we approach the altar to receive our Holy Communion that we expect something significant. We expect something holy to happen to us because that is the promise of Christmas. Conversion is not a one-time deal. Christianity is not a one-time deal. It happens through formation, through the long haul of time. But holy is this night. We should never be the same following this night. The promise of Christianity is that the Christ born in the holy night of eternity, born at Bethlehem in a human date in the calendar of time, can be born in you and me this holy night. Amen.